Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is the fourth and final part of The Brilliant Firefly, Recoil, book two of the original series written by Daniel Hines. We released the first three parts of this story already and all of book one last year. Be sure to listen so you're all caught up. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Jace and Zane and their family, Emily and her family from Italy, Owen and Arden and their family, and River and Kira and their family. Thank you so much, Kira, River, Arden, Owen, Emily, Zane, and Jace. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. We also wanted to tell you about a new iTunes app for kids podcasts that we helped build. It's called Kids Listen on the iTunes App Store. It has nothing but kid-friendly shows curated by us and our kids show friends, and it's free. Just search Kids Listen on iTunes.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. The Brilliant Firefly. Recoil. Part 4. Chapter 7. Push Comes to Shove. The early autumn wind pushed through the fields, filling the air with scents both sweet and earthy. It wasn't chilly yet, but that would come soon. The air seemed to promise it. It was dry and mild, but the first hints of frost were baring their teeth. And so was Jill, giving Specs her best impression of Battlesnake's snarl.
"And then I rocketed up and I broke his fangs, and boy did that make him mad," she continued.
They had already talked through the battle half a dozen times, but they were both too excited to stop.
"And then when you broke that fire hydrant and I triggered the coolant and we froze him, so awesome,"
Specs agreed. The bus huffed up, engine ticking and knocking in the early morning sun. "If only we could do the same thing to Madison and her friends," Jill said, seeing the girls point and laugh at her through the windows.
"Forget about her, Jill," Specs said, cleaning his glasses on his shirt. "You're a genius, and she barely even tries in class. She's going to live on her parents' farm forever while we're out changing the world."
"I know," Jill said, as they marched up the stairs and found a seat. "I just wish they..."
"Oh, good. The freak show is here," Madison said to a chorus of wicked laughter.
"Which one is bigger, you think?" Alyssa asked.
"Specs is fatter, but Jill's definitely more of a freak. Look at those banana hands."
Jill clenched her hands into fists. They were big, like the rest of her. She was tall and broad and generally the opposite of petite little Madison. Jill thought of her size as a blessing and a curse. It was perfect for fitting into the Firefly armor, for tossing goons like Hippopotaman and Battlesnake around. But on the school bus, it just made her a target. And as much as she wanted to strike back, she knew that violence was never the answer to words. That didn't mean it wasn't an appealing thought, though. The bus rumbled into motion. Jill thought that Madison and her gang would get tired of giving her and Specs trouble as the year went on, but they just seemed to get more into it. Specs said they had been teasing him for years, and Jill was just a convenient addition. It seemed colossally unfair. Just when she was settling into a life she could be excited about, bullies had to ruin her mornings. It was a problem even Firefly couldn't solve.
"So are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend yet?" Madison shouted to general laughter. "Why don't you give him a kiss?"
"Ew, I don't want to see that," giggled Ashley.
"I don't either, but think of it like a zoo, a hippo and a giraffe."
Jill flushed red and tried to slide down in her seat. The girls laughed delightedly.
Stupid, Jill thought. Reacting just made it worse.
They kept it up the entire ride to school, despite the bus driver's half-hearted attempts to retain order. When they got off the bus, Jill and Specs headed to their class, and today Madison and her crew followed.
Come on, lovebirds, let's see just one kiss.
Just leave us alone!
Jill screamed, spinning on her heel. Other students gathered at the commotion, and Jill found herself and Specs along with Madison in the center of a rough circle of leering faces.
What's wrong, Jilly? I just thought you'd want to kiss your boyfriend.
Jill felt the matchstick of anger flare inside her, and all her zen and all her training was burned away. Firefly was burned away. In that moment, she was just a young girl, more embarrassed than she'd been in her entire life.
Gross, she said. He's not my boyfriend, and I'd never kiss him. You'd better get out of my face, Madison.
Or what? Are you gonna sick your boyfriend on me?
Jill didn't think. She just reached out and grabbed Madison by her designer coat and threw her to the ground. It wasn't a firefly move, and it certainly wasn't a judo throw, but it worked. Madison hit the dirt with a shrill yell and scrambled away on all fours as the crowd of students both cheered and booed.
You freak! Madison shouted. You ripped my coat!
Suddenly, the crowd scattered in all directions. Jill, in the middle of charging Madison, froze in place.
What's going on here?
It was the principal.
Mrs. Libby, Jill pushed me down and ripped my coat.
Is that true, Jill?
Yeah, but she was... The principal held up her hand.
No buts. We have a zero-tolerance policy for laying a hand on another student. I'll see you in my office before first period. Madison, I'll walk you to the nurse. Come on.
As they turned and walked across the schoolyard, Madison turned and smirked at Jill over her shoulder. In that moment, if Jill had been wearing her armor, she would have vaporized that smile right off Madison's face.
I can't believe this! This is so unfair,
Jill said to Specs when the principal was out of earshot.
Isn't this ridiculous, Specs?
Whatever, Jill. I'm going to class.
Specs was flushed red, his expression dark as a storm cloud.
Whatever! You heard the whole thing! Come tell Mrs. Libby how Madison was teasing us!
Tell her yourself!
Specs, what's wrong?
He turned to look at her, tears standing in his eyes.
I'm used to Madison and her friends being mean. That I can handle. But I thought we were a team. You just said I was gross in front of everyone. Am I really that embarrassing? What do you even think of me?
Specs, said Jill softly, realizing too late what she'd done. I didn't mean it like that.
Yes, you did, Specs said. That's exactly how you meant it. I thought you were different, but in the end, you're just another Madison.
He turned and walked to class, leaving Jill alone. Great, she thought. Now I have no friends. I guess Madison wins. Maybe I can just be homeschooled, or maybe I can join the circus. It'd be nice not to be the freak for once. With a sigh, she began the long walk to the principal's office. Alone.
Chapter 8. Better Judgment. 1 hour and 3 lectures later, Jill was back home in her room. Mrs. Libby had heard her story, watching Jill with patient eyes. She even sympathized at points. But in the end, she said the rules were the rules, and any violence meant a suspension. Jill wasn't allowed back at school for a week. Worse than that, she had to write a letter of apology to Madison.
It's not fair,
she had whined to her mother when she had picked her up.
Not fair? What's not fair is I had to lose out on over an hour of sleep because you got suspended. Again.
It's Madison. She's the worst. Her mother heaved a sigh.
I don't doubt it, Jill, but there will always be bullies. The better you do, the brighter you shine, the more hate you'll get. It's like moths to a light.
Or a bug zapper.
Her mother ignored that.
Jill, you'll use this next week to catch up on your studies. No martial arts, no firefly anything. You're in your room, or you're helping your grandpa.
Great. Fine.
Her mother hadn't pushed any further. She just dropped Jill off at home and went straight back to bed.
Grandpa? I'm home!
Jill called as she walked into the house. There was no answer. Heading upstairs, she found him asleep in his bed. He was healing fast, but still couldn't get around that well. In addition to all the major injuries to his chest, his legs were a mottled mess of bruises. They looked like a wiring diagram in blacks and blues. She closed his door softly and retreated to her room. She flipped through a few books, but couldn't seem to focus on anything. Her thoughts kept returning to Specs. True, she didn't want him as a boyfriend, but he was her best friend and he deserved better. She'd have to apologize. In the meantime, just thinking about what he'd said, comparing her to Madison, made her feel greasy inside. She flipped open her laptop to put on some music. Grandpa had given her the info for the secret Wi-Fi network, so at least she could get online. She turned on her angry playlist and ran through her workout routines. Mom said no martial arts, but she could still keep up with her physical training. An hour later, sweaty and sore, she took a shower and checked in on Grandpa. He was still sleeping soundly. Hour by slow hour, the day crawled by. Grandpa woke briefly, ate some toast and took some pills, and conked back out. Her mother left for her shift at the hospital in the late afternoon and didn't really say much on her way out. With a sigh, Jill sat alone at her little desk to eat a dinner of leftover chicken and rice. She pulled over her computer and clicked around as she ate. A few minutes later, she saw a breaking news alert from Giga City. Against her better judgment, hands trembling, Jill clicked play on the video. It was Harpy. She was flapping her massive wings, her talons gleaming in the sweeping lights of the police helicopters. In her talons was Crimson Cannonball. The hero was slumped, motionless, cut and bruised all over. The pair hung in the air, far above the twinkling city streets below. No, no, come on, Crimson, wake up! With a cackle, Harpy opened her talons and Crimson plummeted towards the ground. No! Jill cried in her room. The police opened up on Harpy, weapons barking fire into the night. Harpy flapped once and shot upwards, too fast for the spotlights to track. The camera swung back down to track Crimson Cannonball. His limp body was falling fast, strobing in and out of the tracking lights. As he neared the ground, a shadow detached itself from the inky night. It flowed like dark water and then formed into a giant hand, catching Crimson just feet over the asphalt and setting him gently on the ground. Grimchurch, yes! Jill shouted, but her joy was short-lived. A second later, Harpy dove into the darkness, her vast wings casting strange shadows as she flitted through the night. Windows on either side of the street shattered and cars were shunted to the side with grating booms. She's not just fast, she's strong, too, Jill realized. On the screen, Harpy grabbed a riot van and pivoted, sending it crashing into two police cars, reds and blues flashing and sirens screaming into the night. Really, really strong, thought Jill. Harpy scooped up a man in a suit. His briefcase went flying and hit the side of a building, raining papers like giant snowflakes on the crowd below. Clutching him firmly in her talons, she flew him up and up, over the buildings, his screams lost in the rushing wind.
Firefly!
Harpy called out, her loud voice cutting across the sound of chaos and news choppers, so loud it had to be amplified somehow.
I'm dropping him in 15 minutes! Until you come and face me, I'll drop another and another until you show your cowardly face!
Jill went white, her hands convulsively squeezing the arms of her desk chair. She felt hot and sick and shaky. Tears gathered in the corners of her eyes.
Crimson Cannonball appears out of commission and now the Harpy has taken a hostage, came the news anchor. With Captain Legend and the Tower Twins hunting Barbaria to the north and Riptide dealing with the burning oil tanker in the bay, the question on everyone's mind has to be, where is Firefly and has he abandoned us again?
Never, whispered Jill. No one else gets hurt.
She slammed into the hall. She started towards Grandpa's room, but paused. Inside, she could hear his snoring, loud as an old motor. He was hurt, slowed. What could he do? Jill turned and ran down the stairs instead. She ran through the house and across the lawn and into the barn before she had time to second-guess herself. She texted Specs and told him what she was doing. Hopefully he would come. He hadn't answered her all day, but this was different, wasn't it? No time for doubts now. No time for fears. The longer Harpy rampaged through town, the more innocent people would get hurt. People like her father. Jill turned on all the systems and activated the armor, sliding into the flight suit in record time. The suit spun and unfolded, her father's finest design, the elegant origami of his Proteus. Jill stepped inside, and this time, for the first time, it felt like coming home. Chapter 9. Flying Solo. Faster, faster, Jill said to herself, rocking across the urban sprawl that marked the edge of Giga City. Her 15 minutes were nearly up and the suit was whining in protest as she shut down the safeties and milked every last drop of speed from the thruster. The lower half of her body was lost in the yellow-gold glow as she burned across the sky so fast she shattered the sound barrier like brittle glass. The helmet magnified the harpy, miles away, floating high above the skyscrapers, the shrieking businessman in her claws. Circling around her, like vultures about a kill, were the news helicopters. Their bright lights swept over her feathered form and winked off her talons. Their rotors chopped at the air and added to the already roaring din.
10 seconds, Firefly!
Harpy called out. Jill wasn't close enough to hear, but the news broadcast came through her helmet.
10, 9, 8!
Jill pinned her arms to her side and leaned forward, arcing straight for Harpy, closing the gap fast now.
7, 6, 5!
Jill roared inside the armor as her body felt the pressure from the speed like a workshop vise closing around her, so tight she could barely breathe.
4, 3, 2!
I'm not gonna make it, Jill realized. Too slow, too far.
1!
Harpy said with a vicious smile and opened her talons. The man plummeted, his suit coat spreading open like a cape, the wind whipping the screams from his lips. No! Jill roared and angled herself down. The man tumbled through the air, past the rooftops of the skyscrapers, plunging through the canopy of the city and into the jungle of glass and steel below. Jill gritted her teeth. The suit shattered windows as she passed them, a yellow blur, speed made real, her screams amplified and deepened. She banked between two towers, wound a loop around an upthrust antenna, and then turned and dove straight down. The man was below her now, falling towards the cold concrete below. 200 feet? 100 feet? Jill reached out towards him, closing the gap fast. The man saw her, reached out towards her. The ground loomed huge now. It felt less like falling and more like the concrete was rushing up to meet them. 50 feet, falling fast. Jill's fingertips brushed the man's and then they clasped hands. She pulled him into a hug and pulled out of her dive. The toe tips of her boots struck sparks on the cement and sent her tumbling. She wrapped herself protectively around the man and then her back crashed into the front of a truck, totaling it and stopping her cold. Her vision swam darkly. She ached all over.
Firefly, came a voice, barely audible over the hum in her ears. Firefly, are you okay?
Jill stood up slowly, nodding her head. Her eyes blinked open and checked the readouts from the HUD. The suit was okay. Banged up, but fully functioning. The man she had saved helped her up, looking wan and wild-eyed, but no worse for the wear.
Thanks, man, he said, then looked up to where Harpy floated, high above them. Go get her for me, huh?
Jill grimaced.
My pleasure, she said in her Firefly voice.
She kicked on her jet and blasted back into the sky. A second later, she was floating in front of Harpy, eye to eye with her, the helicopters hovering around them.
Finally! There you are!
Sneered Harpy.
Here I am, agreed Firefly.
Jill felt the matchstick of anger flare inside her, and she fed it everything she had. Grandpa's injury, Madison's teasing, the fight with Specs, and her father. Her father more than all the rest combined. Soon she had a bonfire inside her, sending white-hot strength all through her, burning down her veins and tearing out of her in a primal scream, loud and sharp as a bone saw. And dangerous. That, too. She shot at the harpy, colliding in the air. The villain's talons screeched off her armor. The beautiful face peeled back its lips and revealed fangs beneath.
"I'll end you, Firefly!"
Harpy shrieked as they tumbled through the air, a whirl of bright feathers and gleaming metals. "Never!" bellowed Jill, ripping one hand free and blasting a bolt of brilliant energy into Harpy. The scent of burning feathers filled the air and the creature shrieked in pain. Jill saw a fist-sized hole burned clean through the wing, the feathers on the rim black and roasted.
"You'll pay for that!"
Harpy said, pulling away and flapping unsteadily, the hole ruining her perfect flight.
"Enough talk!"
Jill said, slamming her thruster to full power and driving into Harpy like a piston running hot. The air slammed from the creature in a strangled whoosh, and Jill angled down, straight for the cold concrete below. Harpy shrieked and raked at her with her talons. They screamed across the metal of the suit, punching through at the shoulder and tracing pain across Jill's back, but Jill only dove faster, driving them both towards the ground.
"Stop!"
Harpy shrieked.
"You'll kill us both!"
Beyond words, beyond rage, Jill roared in response. With a boom that shook buildings and shattered windows, she slammed them both into the asphalt. The news cameras swung to see. There was a smoking crater, a ruined hole in the street.
"They've crashed into the ground," came the news anchor. "We can't quite see yet, but is that... Yes, that's Firefly!"
Jill stood and dusted herself off. Beneath her, Harpy lay moaning on the ground, one wing bent at an unnatural angle.
"Tell your boss I'm coming for him," said Jill as the police cars screeched to a halt,
reds and blues casting an eerie light over the scene.
"Sooner than you think, Firefly,"
Harpy sneered back.
"Enjoy your stay in jail,"
Jill replied, kicking on the jets and rocketing back home. Chapter 10. Pride and Wrath.
"What were you thinking?"
Grandpa roared. Jill still had her armor on, just the faceplate swung open. He had been waiting for her in the bunker, stewing in his chair.
"She was taking hostages. I had to save them."
"There's always hostages. There's always threats. You never let them call you out like that. You gave Harpy exactly what she wanted."
"I gave her a hole in the feathers and a broken wing. Better than you did, old man."
Jill realized almost immediately she had said too much, but the anger was still flowing through her. The wrath was filling her mind and body and burning away all reason.
"Should I hide away like you did? Should I let them die just to protect my own skin?"
Grandpa turned red. A vein pulsed in his forehead, his scowling mouth twitching.
"You silly girl," he spat. "You have no idea what I did for you, for your mother. You have no idea what I gave up to keep you safe. And you pay me back by going after Harpy alone?"
"I won the fight!"
Grandpa shook his head.
"You think you won? You have no idea what you're talking about. The Scarlet King doesn't make mistakes. The fact you think you won just means you've lost in ways beyond imagining. She offered you a pawn and you took it. But what peace will she take in response? What have you left us open to?"
Jill started to reply, but was cut off by a loud siren blaring. The fireflies overhead turned from a gentle yellow-white to a pulsing red. The monitors flashed to a radar readout. Something was coming. Something big and something fast. Something that was glowing white-hot on the sensors. Grandpa, still injured, hobbled to the computer and sat, typing furiously.
"What is it?" Jill asked, coming to stand behind him.
"I don't know, but it's coming right for us. That's what Harpy was after."
"What do you mean?"
"She must have stuck you with some kind of tracker and you led them right back to our base."
The alarms blared. The lights pulsed. Jill felt her stomach flip and boil.
"Grandpa,"
he typed furiously. Several other dots leapt across the radar but disappeared.
No, I can't stop it.
Grandpa, I'm sorry. He stood quickly, taking her in his arms.
No, I'm sorry. I never should have let you wear that suit. You're too young, too mad. As long as you're driven by anger, this was always going to happen. I should have seen it. I let you down, Jilly Bean.
The alarms grew louder. Grandpa gave her a kiss on the cheek and then closed the faceplate of the Firefly suit.
We only have another minute. Listen close. You need to take your mother and get out of here. Move somewhere else, anywhere else. Let Scarlet King think he's won. Let him think that Firefly is dead and maybe you can live a normal life. A safe life.
What about you? Why aren't you coming with us? We need you.
No, Jilly,
Grandpa said, shaking his head.
There's no time. Only one way out of here now, and you're in it.
Jill started to cry inside the suit. The alarms were pounding loud, but Jill could hear something else, too. A roaring whistle, something approaching fast and low.
I love you, Jilly, Grandpa whispered.
Then louder, he said the word, the magic word.
Firefly.
The jet kicked on, and Jill blasted up, blowing a hole through the ceiling and crashing through the reinforced concrete. The suit blared alarms as the jets burned themselves into slag. A second later, she was crashing and rolling into the field behind the barn. Then there was a flash of scarlet streaking into the bunker. There was a moment of horrible silence and then a sucking boom. There were no flames, but Jill felt the blast, even through the armor. The bunker shook and then the ground collapsed into itself, taking the barn with it, leaving a crater of crumbling dirt and splintered wood.
Grandpa, Jill said. She tried to stand, but the suit only twitched and fizzled.
She turned and saw the house was still standing, but there was a strange ship hovering in front of it. As she watched, helpless, Barbariot emerged, carrying her mother over one shoulder.
Mom,
she said, again trying to move. The suit fought her every inch, but she managed to rise to one knee just as Barbariot loaded her mother onto the ship and it lifted into the air.
Mom, no!
She cried, overriding the safeties and firing the jet. It flashed to life and she lifted off the ground, but the ship was already blasting away, disappearing up and into the sky. A second later, the Firefly suit went dark and she crashed back into the ground. It unfolded around her and she climbed out in a cloud of smoke, hacking on her hands and knees. She looked wildly from the crater of the bunker to the twinkling star of the fleeing ship. Grandpa was gone. Mom was taken by the Scarlet King. Her body ached all over. Her vision swam. She stood and took two wobbly steps before falling back to the ground. Grandpa was gone. Suddenly it hit her like a super-powered punch to the gut. Grandpa was gone, buried with his creations under a ton of concrete and steel.
No,
Jill said to herself softly. Then again, louder, the words tearing out of her, no, 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 until her throat was raw with the taste of metal and she found herself tumbling into the crater and digging with her bare hands. It was her fault. She let herself get called out. She let herself get stuck with the tracker. Grandpa was right. Her anger ruled her and she wasn't a hero. She was just a silly girl. A silly girl with scraped up hands, digging madly in the night. Grandpa was gone. She needed a hero. She needed Firefly. But Grandpa was gone, and the only Firefly left was a silly girl with not a friend in the world. Grandpa was gone. Morning found her in that same spot, tears drying on her cheeks and the early circuitry of a plan coming together slowly in her mind. Around her, sifting slowly through the rubble, came the Firefly bots, swirling pinpricks of light drifting skyward into the dawn.
Be strong, Mom. I'm going to get you back, she said, her voice a rasp.
Soon, Mom. I'm coming soon. To be continued. Today's story, the final part of The Brilliant Firefly, Recoil, was an original story written by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. Book 3, the final book in the Firefly trilogy, will be released in April 2018, so stay tuned!
If you would like to support Stories Podcast and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and let us know who to thank. And don't forget to check out the Kids Listen app for a curated collection of kid-friendly podcasts. Just search Kids Listen on iTunes. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.